From Illinois Public Media, this is Focus. Good morning. I'm Celeste Quinn. The producer for the program, Harriet Williamson. Our technical director this morning is Kyle Mabry. And dog trainers Jim Keel and Robin Haggard are with us this morning. Usually we talk with Robin and Jim, or Jim and Carol, usually, Carol Lindholm, on the first Friday of the month, and we talk with them about dogs. They're with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. But it so happens that this Friday, in the 11 o'clock hour of the program, we'll be off the air, although people can listen online at will.illinois.edu. We will be off the air Friday, December 2nd, from roughly 9 a.m. until about 1 p.m., while our transmitter power supply is connected to the University of Illinois' underground utility. And this phase of our tower work will help make us more reliable in bad weather. And we want to thank our listeners for their patience throughout the tower repair project, which has been going on for much of the fall and even into late summer. So anyway, what we're going to talk about this morning here in the 10 o'clock hour of the program, dogs, dog behavior, care, and training. Jim and Robin raise Malamutes, and many of their dogs have been champions. They have a lot of experience with other breeds as well. So listeners, I invite you to join us this morning with a telephone call or by email. Your questions and comments are invited. The number in the Champaign-Urbana area, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. The toll-free number is 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL. And the email address is will-talk@illinois.edu. Good to see you this morning, even though it's a little... It's Wednesday. It's not Friday, and it's 10 o'clock, not 11 o'clock.
Seasonal felicitations. I've been working on that all morning.
Oh, good. Did you have a good holiday?
That's all I have to say.
Yeah, we had a good holiday. We stayed home.
Yeah.
So haven't been going to too many dog shows this year. So
all the dogs at Poker Flats are doing well?
We found a stray dog on Friday.
Yes.
And we found its owner on Saturday.
Good. So,
but what a nice dog this was. And she had just gotten out of her run, and her owners had been away for the Thanksgiving holiday. But they had people coming in taking care of the dog. And she hadn't really gone very far, but we didn't know that. But a very nice dog, but we were happy to reunite her with her family.
Happy ending. What a lucky dog and lucky people.
Well, she was standing in the middle of our country road hailing me like a taxi when I came.
Hello.
Yeah. Yeah, she didn't have a full appreciation of what cars can do.
Ooh.
So she was a house dog, so primarily. Mm. And just stood in the middle of the road, and fortunately Robin saw her and stopped. And it's right at kind of a rise in the road, so you really can't see what's on the top.
So, yeah.
So it was good anyway that Robin didn't run into her, and that we were able to, and friendly enough, and we were able to bring her home. And I was thinking about keeping her.
The Malamutes
Robin
would love her.
Yeah.
Did you have a collar? Did you have a chip?
She
How did you?
Nothing.
Nothing.
No. But she was close to a place where we knew that had dogs. We just it was out in the country and miles from where we live, but I suspected it was this one home, and it turned out to be them.
Yeah.
Boy, my voice isn't working very well either.
We left them a card, and they called Saturday night. They got home and got the card that said, "We found a dog in your yard or near your yard." So
when you ask how were our holidays, that was our excitement.
That was the big excitement. Yeah. Boy, nothing that exciting happened to us. Although we did see Hugo, the new movie from Scorsese, and there are some lovely dogs in the film.
Oh.
Are they CGI dogs, or are they real dogs?
They're real dogs. Doberman.
Oh.
And I think they were long-haired dachshunds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very cute.
Robin knows a lot about Dobermans.
Well, they're a lovely breed. If you're looking for a wonderful house dog, Dobermans are really a good dog to have.
Yeah. And this Doberman, kind of plays to type and then against type. So
kind of a method actor dog.
Yes, I would say so. I would say so. I think the dog did a great job.
See?
Great.
So anyway, I'm sorry I missed it the first time.
Yeah, we're talking with dog trainers Jim Keel and Robin Haggard this morning. And listeners, we would love to hear from you. 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Toll-free 800-222-9455. The email address is will-talk@illinois.edu. We have an email question from last time you were here that we didn't get in time. So I will take care of that now, as I told the correspondent after the show last time. This is from Colleen, who is Leah the Vizsla's owner. Now, the dog is a Vizsla. I don't know what this breed is.
It's a hunting breed, a pointing breed.
From Poland, I believe.
Yeah.
Okay. And Colleen.
Hungry, sorry.
Colleen did the home companion class with you, Jim, over the summer.
I remember.
And Colleen says Vizslas are extremely attached to their owners, and Leah is no exception. And Colleen says her husband has been traveling a lot lately, and Leah has been exhibiting signs of stress. The last time he was out of town, she had a nervous stomach, wouldn't eat, and wouldn't keep food down when she did eat. And this happens often when returning from visiting family in St. Louis. We call it her hunger strike because she refuses to eat when we return. On top of the gastric issues, she's become even more clingy, if you can imagine that, with me when my husband is out of town. Any suggestions to help ease her anxiety during times when my husband is traveling or when returning from visiting family? Is it just something she will learn to cope with over time?
Hopefully she'll get better over time, but there's a couple of homeopathic products that I recommend, especially in cases of anxiety. And one is called Rescue Remedy, and it's it just helps lower the anxiety level for any particular reason, and it's for people, for animals.
Bach's Rescue,
yeah,
B-A-C-H.
Yeah,
as
it's
in the composer.
It's one of the they call them flower remedies, and there used to be a lady that lived here in town that could do a wonderful talk on the uses of all these flower remedies. And you can take this with a grain of salt or not, but I used a combination of the remedies for one of our dogs who was a little bit shy of noises. And she sailed through her championship, even with loudspeakers going on overhead, because I put her on these little, and you just put them in their water and a couple of drops. And so when they know that a situation is coming up where she would normally give some stress signals, just put a couple drops in her water and just continue it over the days. It's since it's homeopathic, it gets magnified, so a couple of drops can go in like a gallon bucket of water. When our girls are in season and our boys are real stressed, I put all the dogs on Rescue Remedy. And it's like day and night. You can tell the difference in the noise level and in the anxiety level from when I put them on it.
Well, is that quite day and night? But I have to say, because I am skeptical, the Rescue Remedy does tone everything down a lot.
Yeah.
But it won't eliminate a problem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it helps.
It helps take the edge off. And the other thing is to, when the situation comes up, is to maybe pay a little more attention to the dog, play some more games with her, engage her in things like, mind games where you play hide and seek with her in the house, things like that that just get the dog really engaged. And I think that might help too.
Okay, and probably while you're engaging the dog, you wouldn't want to be engaging in encouraging that clinginess, right?
Right, right. And some of it is like if you play, since she's a sporting breed, she probably likes to play fetch, and that's always a good game to play. Or I like to suggest hide and seek, especially it's kind of a recall game that we suggest people play with their dogs or their puppies to teach them to come when called. And that you kind of hide in like one room of the house, and you call the dog, and when the dog gets to you, it's like a jackpot of food. And so then they get used to not seeing you for a few minutes, and then all of a sudden you're calling them and they have to go search for you. And so it becomes kind of a game.
Yeah. Do you guys have any experience with these things that you can plug into the wall that release a pheromone
to calm animals? I've never tried that.
Yeah.
No.
I haven't either. I know that they're out there. Yeah. Maybe a listener has some experience.
What
with
I was
that.
Thinking on this problem is if the dog is upset because her husband has left town, then get a towel or something and have him rub his head in there. Just get an odor and put it where she sleeps. The other thing is if she has a friend, a canine friend, then you could have play dates and take herself out of herself that way as another kind of fun distraction for the separation anxiety. We had a dog, Ross, who was a very good show dog, and we were, as we say in the biz, we were campaigning him. In other words, we were going to a lot of dog shows, and he was doing a fair amount of winning. He would not eat from the day we left, or the time we left home, till the time we got back. He wouldn't eat food, and it was always, and he also wouldn't go potty.
Ross?
Who was that?
I don't know who you're talking about.
I think it was Ross. Ross, he wouldn't go potty, and we'd go to a venue, and I'd walk him for a half an hour, and he'd pee on things. Mm. But you don't want that extra gut on a show dog.
So what's the answer to the
we just
feeding
live with
thing?
It.
And for the gastric upsets, but by the way, I would suggest giving her a heaping tablespoon of yogurt. Every day, just plain organic yogurt. We found Ross did have this problem where he would vomit that yellow kind of bile, and it's where the stomach gets overactive. It's anticipating food and it doesn't get it. So one of the things we found was if I gave him the yogurt every day, he didn't have that problem anymore. So. And I didn't think the yogurt was that important. And we went dog sledding one time when he was an older dog, and he didn't go with us. And the dog sitter that we had said after a day that Ross wasn't eating and he was feeling funny. And I said, you know, oh, dear. But I hadn't told her to give him the yogurt because I thought, oh, it's just one more thing that she has to do. Mm-hmm. So I said, you know, give him a Zantac and some yogurt, and in less than 24 hours, he was back to his old self. He was eating. Everything was
fine.
Which
wasn't necessarily good. He was a brat.
No. No. His tummy didn't feel good.
His tummy didn't feel good, but he was a bratty dog.
So,
what kinds of things did he do that?
If you weren't paying attention to Ross, he would see to it that you did. So whatever was handy, even if it just meant coming up and hitting you with his paw.
That's got to be kind of unusual for a Malamute, isn't it?
He was a dog that liked a lot of attention, which was one reason why it made him a good show dog. But he would go to a building, and we used to just joke about it because he'd walk in, like, our dog training club building, and he'd walk in the door, and all of a sudden he'd just woo really, really loud, like
a trumpeting
I'm here.
Elephant.
Ross has arrived.
Ross is in the building.
I'm ready for my close-up.
I went to a show up in Wheaton, and they have kind of a ROTC building there, kind of a rounded building like the one on campus. And they had the dog show, and we walked in, and I think it was at noon, so there people were still showing, but there wasn't the crowd that there would be before or afternoon. And he started trumpeting, and everybody stopped showing. Everybody stopped, and they're looking. Of course, they're looking at me, like, mm-hmm. Can't you do something with your dog? But he stopped everything with this, she says, howling. It was more like an elephant trumping. And he did that when he came into the dog training club. Just to let people know he was there.
And then once everyone took notice, then he would
Ross
be...
Ross is here, that he'd walk around waving at everyone, saying hi. Working the crowd.
Pay attention to me, please.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it was almost better when he wasn't feeling good, because then at least he left you alone.
Oh.
Sis Robin. No, that's not true. People know that's not true, dear.
So what kinds of things can you tell about a dog's personality when they're really young? Did you know Ross was going to be a kind of a
he was
show off.
He was special from the day.
Yeah,
but that he was from a litter that we had a tragic situation. When that litter was born, their mother died, and so we had to hand raise those puppies, and that's why we called them the Friends litter. We named them after the TV show Friends characters, because we had friends who came over and helped us feed the puppies, and there were seven in that litter, and it was just that we got very close to those puppies, because every 2 hours they had to be bottle fed, and there was no mom there to clean them and take care of them, and so we had to do all of those things. After about a week, we found a golden retriever female that we put in with them, and she didn't have a lot of milk, but at least she was another
dog. Yeah.
But that was a very, very tragic situation. I'd never gone through that before, never want to again, but it teaches you a lot, and you get a very close bond with the puppies doing all of that.
Yeah. Were the other dogs like Ross in that way? That,
there's one still alive. She's 15 and a half. She's the last one from that litter. And they were all very personable and all,
they weren't like Ross.
They weren't quite as arrogant as Ross. But five out of the seven finished their championship. So it was a very, from a perspective of a breeder in terms of quality, it was a very good litter. But we had a few health problems. They got eye infections early on. And so it was just one thing after another that we had to deal with raising them without a mom. It's always nice to have mom there to do all the
Absolutely.
Work.
Absolutely. That's a lot of work.
It didn't occur to us till after, but they all got conjunctivitis and their eyes were still closed. And then we realized mom does a lot besides feed.
She keeps
the head clean and keeps the eyes clean. And there's a little antibiotic in her saliva. And it just hadn't occurred to us to clean their eyes. And so we had to force their eyes open at about a week.
Yeah.
And give them the medicine. And a couple of them had damaged corneas. None of them were blind or anything, but the infection was enough to cause a little bit of damage. I think Ross had some spots on his...
He had a scar on one of his eyes, but you couldn't see it. The ophthalmologists would always see it, because every year they'd get their eyes checked, and the ophthalmologists would always see his little scar.
What's wrong with his eye? Man, nothing. Don't worry about it.
God, well, that must have been a lot of work for you.
Oh, it was.
Oh,
it's, we couldn't have saved these dogs without the help of the friends. It was much appreciated. Mm-hmm. And in fact, one of our friends came over who's adept at tube feeding. And I was scared to do it. I think Robin was scared to do it because we didn't. You put a tube down into their stomach, but you could miss and get their lungs if you don't know what you're doing, and we didn't know what we were doing. And we called her up at midnight, and she came over, and
one of the puppies was fading. Yeah, and so she tubed her, and then by the next day, the puppy was fine. And so, but it's, you know, having... That's one nice thing about being in the dog training club and having this community of dog people is, you know, the golden retriever we got through a friend of ours who's a golden breeder. And, you know, you just have a network of people that you go to for advice and help, and everybody pitches in.
Yeah. Speaking of the club, you got classes coming up or events coming up?
Classes are on hiatus. Our long experience is that you can have classes during the holidays, but no one comes. You know, what if you gave a war and nobody showed up? Some people come, but it's very difficult. So we schedule it so that classes end before Thanksgiving, and they pick up then.
After New Year's
After
Day.
New Year's, and the Thursday after New Year's Day is the orientation, and I forget what day that is, I think it's January 5th. I don't have a calendar right here, but whatever the first Thursday after New Year's is, that's when orientation is.
The winter schedule is up online, so if people are interested in classes for the winter, they can go online and check out when classes are and sign up.
Yeah, just Google Dog Training Club and Champaign-Urbana comes right up.
Right.
Right.
This weekend is our tracking trial.
One of the events, it's an AKC event, American Kennel Club event, but it's a tracking test, and I forgot the name of the county park. It's up near, it's up in the northeastern.
It's near Gifford. Around
close
that area.
To Gifford. Well, even farther away.
Yeah.
And it will be Sunday morning, I think around 8 o'clock.
It starts, yeah.
And these are hardcore people. These are people, when they train tracking, they're out at this time of year. They get home from work, and they go out and work a couple hours. And, of course, it's dark. And it's cold and often rainy or muddy or snowy. And so these are people that are dedicated to the sport. And usually one person goes at a time. There's only one judge. So we can only do a certain number. I think it's 10 or 12.
I don't think we have that many. I think it's 6 and it might be 10, 6 and 4.
Yeah.
They do a certain number of what we call TD, or just tracking dog, the initial, like, novice tracks, and then they do a certain number of the advanced tracks for the next level title. And then next spring we're having our first variable surface tracking test, which is the dog has to track across things like concrete and through all kinds of different surfaces. And they're tracking human scent. So these are dogs that are trained to follow a human scent. And the initial test is like 400 yards and with several turns. And then the TDX one is, it's like half a mile. It's a long way. And they have cross tracks, so if people have walked across the track. And they're doing this in a park where there's a lot of deer. So the dogs have a great deal of distraction, and pheasants, too. So when we've gone up to this park, we tried carting around the trails in some of these parks, and the deer are such that the dogs are constantly trying to go after the deer. So it gets a little tough to go.
Carting is like sledding, but you have a cart instead of a sled because there's no snow.
Yeah.
And they go after the deer. What I was thinking is I laid a TDX track once, and I always try to get out of it ever since that, because you're going through the brambles, and because it's okay, there it is, lay the track through here, and it can be swampy, it can be thorny, whatever it is, that's where you go if you're the track layer. And so I feel sorry for the dogs. Don't have a problem with it because they're down low to the ground, but the human has to go through all the bushes, and it's just, as I say, they're hardcore. We don't actually do that very much. We've trained a couple dogs for the first level, and we've actually had one dog complete a tracking title, but it's a lot of work. Robin has a cold.
She does, and we hope she feels
what
better.
What a trooper to come in on short notice.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, I really want to thank the two of you for coming in today, because usually this is a program we do on Friday, and on the first Friday of the month at 11 o'clock, and it just so happens that WILL AM 580 is going to be off the air on the first Friday of the month, December 2nd, from 9 a.m. until about 1 p.m., for some additional transmitter work. The transmitter power supply will be connected to the University of Illinois' underground utility, so we'll be more reliable when that bad weather hits, like it does every spring. So we'll be more reliable. Our signal will be more reliable in bad weather, and we want to thank our listeners for their patience throughout our tower repair project this fall. On Friday, AM 580 programming from 9 a.m. until about 1 p.m. will be available at WILL will.illinois.edu. That's will.illinois.edu. We will be streaming live there during that time, as we do all the time. In fact, we're on the internet right now, streaming live. This is Focus. My name is Celeste Quinn, and Jim Keel and Robin Haggard are with us this morning. We're talking about dogs. As I mentioned, this is usually a program we do on the first Friday of the month in the 11 o'clock hour, but we didn't want to let a month go by without the program, and so we said, well, I've got an opening on Wednesday. Why don't we see if we can talk about dogs at 10 o'clock on Wednesday? So that's what we're doing. And our guests again, Robin Haggard and Jim Keel, they raise Malamutes. And they're with us this morning to talk with us about dogs, dog care, behavior, and training. They're with the Dog Training Club of Champaign, Urbana. Listeners, you can join us with a phone call or by email. The number in the Champaign, Urbana area is 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. Toll-free 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL. And the email address is will-talk@illinois.edu. More after a short break.
WILL programs are made possible by the Champaign-Urbana Ballet, presenting a holiday tradition, The Nutcracker, with Sinfonia de Camera at Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, December 2nd through 4th. Tickets are available at krannertcenter.com or 333-6280.
This is Focus. We're talking this morning about dogs. Coming up in the second hour today, in the 11 o'clock hour, the topic will be Illinois politics. Our guest will be former Governor Jim Edgar. We'll get his thoughts on a range of issues, including the state's budget problems, business climate, and the challenge of meeting Illinois' pension obligations. David Inge will be the host, and I suspect that David will also talk with Jim Edgar about the GOP's prospects in the coming election, the election of 2012. And we've got a listener waiting to talk with us now on line one with our guests, Jim Keel and Robin. Whoops. Kyle?
Oops.
Yeah, it's your headphones, Robin. They're feeding back into the microphone, so yeah. Put them on, and yeah, there we go. Okay. Sorry about that. So
I'm sorry.
It's not. I'm not apologizing.
These new technologies are very confusing.
No need to apologize. I'm apologizing to you. So let's go and talk with our listener on line one. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Ed, calling from Charleston.
Uh-huh.
I had a question. We adopted a beagle about 10 years old. This was a couple of months ago. So an older dog, very sweet, and the dog seemed to be very good left in the house, could be left, 8 hours or more in the house. Lately, the dog has been, and the dog actually developed fleas. Now, we've been using Frontline, but the dog put on a little bit of weight, and we had to wait to give it another treatment. During that time, the dog has started to urinate in the house. Even if it's left just a couple of hours, it'll go into the bathroom or somewhere in the edge of the house. It is an older dog. I'd imagine it has to do with the fleas, perhaps. I don't know if you'd have any suggestion. I know beagles are tough to train. Any approach that we should use for an older dog, especially if this urination problem continues?
I don't know if you've had her checked by your vet for a urinary tract infection, a UTI. Frequently, especially in older dogs, they tend to, and female dogs, they tend to get UTIs. So she may have picked that up, and that will cause her to have to urinate more frequently.
Yeah.
And so have your vet check her urine and see if that's an issue. Some dogs, too, especially spayed females, develop, I call it the old lady leak, but it's where they can't quite hold their urine as well. And there's a very cheap drug called Proin, P-R-O-I-N, that you can get from your vet to keep her. It just tightens up the sphincter so that the dog doesn't have accidents. So if it appears that she's knows that she's going, then it's more likely that it's a UTI. But if these seem to be situations where she can't control it, then it might be more of this spayed female syndrome that happens. But I would check her for both of those things. She's also become more comfortable in your home. And there's a honeymoon period when you adopt a dog where the dog is kind of on its best behavior. And then once it gets comfortable, it starts to do things that are not as, shall we say, acceptable. So it could be, you know, some of that is coming out, too, that her I don't think it really has anything to do with the fleas. Yeah, that's probably not an issue. If she was getting skin issues like hot spots or sores and things like that, that would be more likely to be fleas from itching and biting at the fleas. And usually the flea drugs, as far as I know, do not affect their kidneys like that, especially things topical like Frontline. We've been using a product called Sentinel, and that plus a product that kills the live fleas called Capstar. The combination seems to work better than the topicals for us. Now, we have thick-coated dogs, so it's hard to get the Frontline or those topicals on their skin. And with a beagle, you're dealing with a shorter coat, so you're probably more successful in getting the product on the skin.
Any suggestions for how to train now that the beagle has become evidently more comfortable in the house? Any suggestions? And again, it's an old beagle. I know beagles are tough to train.
I would use confinement. In other words, confine her to a particular area. Because normally a dog will not go in their area. If our dogs make a mistake in the house, it's in the room that they don't live in.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what's going on.
So I would confine her to, you know, a laundry room, kitchen, someplace where obviously it's easy to clean up, easier to clean up a mess if she does go, but also she's less likely to go. And that probably is the best thing to do, is just not give her free run of the house. And a simple measure, and one that I use at home all the time, is we have baby gates. So there's areas of the house that the dogs aren't allowed to go in. And we just put a baby gate across the doorway, and that way they're confined to like three rooms. But they won't usually go in those rooms because those rooms belong to them. But if I forget the baby gate, they'll wander into one of those rooms they're not allowed to go in and might pee.
Terrific. Well, we've got some old baby gates left over from our babies, so we can certainly use those. And thank you very much for the wonderful advice.
Sure.
Thanks for the call this morning. Other calls are invited. 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area, toll-free 800-222-9455. And the email address is will-talk@illinois.edu. Our fleas are really persistent. At this time of the year, even?
They've been around for 20 or 30 million years. I forgot how. They're just everywhere, and it's very difficult. And if you pick up fleas, it's not your fault. Don't worry about it, because fleas are everywhere. And everywhere there are animals, really. Our big problem with fleas have usually come when we take in a stray cat. I am told, although I don't know, that most of the fleas that are on dogs are actually cat fleas.
Really?
That generally,
I think they just go between the two species.
That's what I mean. I think that's not true.
I think if you're probably a warm-blooded animal, you
well,
you
the
rabbits are bad vectors for fleas too. And if your dog gets a hold of a rabbit and eats it, it's likely to get tapeworms from the rabbit, because fleas carry tapeworm.
Well, you know what? Yours truly brought fleas into the house one day a few years back by stumbling across in the backyard a deceased possum. And they hopped on, and
how
I didn't
could you
realize
tell?
It.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it, and I thought, oh, no.
It's one thing about possums is it's always hard to say if they're dead or not.
Yeah, well, it was midday. Mm-hmm. Sun was shining.
And he wasn't moving.
He's not moving, and it's in the middle of the yard. And
even so.
Yes, hopped right on me and rode into the house. Mm-hmm. And
well, that's what I mean. If you're where animals are at all, in a park, then there are flea eggs everywhere. And it's very difficult. I believe in nuking them. Carol, if she were here, I think she tries to meditate them away or something, something nonviolent. But I like to just kill the little bugs.
Well, you have to take a full frontal attack and do, mm-hmm. you know, the whole, mm-hmm. from the house to the, you know, as much of the yard as you can get. We've had a flea problem this year. We don't normally, the Malamutes, I used to think they couldn't get fleas because we didn't get fleas for years and years, but we lived in the country and we were isolated. And then one day a stray kitten showed up with fleas, and I had put her in the house in a crate before I realized that she was covered with fleas. And after that, then we had a bout of fleas then, and our bouts with fleas have usually been because we've taken in cats. They tend to carry the fleas in the country anyway.
Yeah.
And once you get them, they are very, very difficult to get rid of.
Yeah. It's not a pretty picture.
No, and it's expensive. I just got flea medicine for all of the dogs the other day, and I was like in shock. Yes,
Dow Jones keep going up because we need the money.
Okay,
get rid of the fleas.
Let's go back to the phones, and we're going to talk now with somebody in Danville on line one. Hi.
Can you hear me? Okay.
Yes. Go ahead.
We have a Portuguese water dog who is 7 years old, and he's very much like the dog you discussed earlier. He's only happy when he's being praised by his minions, and he's kind of an attention hog. But we're moving to Michigan. We're building a house, and we've noticed when he's up there and in the presence of our contractor's dog a lot that he's just a lot more settled, and that lasts for a while when we come back home. So the question is, what are your thoughts about getting a companion dog for Max? What should we be thinking about when we're doing that kind of thing?
It's an excellent way to solve the problem of the dog that wants a lot of attention and you're not able to give it as much attention. People that work long hours and can't be home, things like that. Years ago when we were students, we got a cat for our dog, and that worked pretty well, actually. They couldn't go out and play in the yard together so much, but the cat kept the dog engaged in the house, and unfortunately, we'd come home and find that they had created a little havoc while we were gone because the cat would
used to tear up my shirts.
Yeah, the cat would hide under things, and then
hang up my clothes.
The dog would play with the things a little roughly. But another dog is an excellent idea.
You can't have too many dogs. I've always thought.
Well, a combination of two that get along is wonderful. Mm-hmm. The interaction between the two is fun.
What sex is your Portie?
Male.
Okay. You'd probably be well advised, whatever kind of dog you get a female.
Okay.
I don't know Portuguese temperaments that well.
He's good with other dogs. And actually, although he hasn't been around children, is good with children. So I other than being a roughhouser, I don't think he'll be a problem.
I think his calmness and this is not a bad thing, but when he goes up to Michigan, he's kind of out of his territory, and probably the contractor's dog hangs around the construction site. And so your dog is kind of on some other dog's territory, and that will tend to calm a dog down.
They're probably just roughhousing and playing together, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so their extra
exercise
is keeping your dog much calmer.
And you probably would, I was going to say you can get a dog the same size as the Portuguese, but we once gave a Malamute to somebody who, a female to somebody who had a male Chihuahua. And I thought when we put these dogs together, the Malamute is going to eat the Chihuahua. And the Chihuahua was the male. And By golly, she got down on the ground, put her head on the ground, and she was still taller than the Chihuahua. and we kept getting cards over the years, and they were together over 10 years and were just inseparable.
Yeah, they were best buds, and she got other Chihuahuas over the years, and the Malamute got along with all the Chihuahuas, and so it all worked out. But it is the individual dogs' personalities that really matter more than the breed. And, you know, the nice thing about getting maybe an older dog, not an old dog, but just more of an adult, is that you can see how the personality of that dog is going to mesh with yours. So you might go through a rescue organization. If you decide to get another Portie, that's perfectly fine. I would get a spayed female. And basically just let the dogs meet and see how they get along. There might be a little bit of jealousy that happens when two dogs live together sometimes, but as long as both of them get plenty of attention, it usually will help a lot with that dog that's a little active or clingy because they have another companion to be with.
Yeah, well, Max is a real handful. You know, and they have a reputation for needing a lot of exercise and a lot of attention. So I'm not sure we could take two of them.
Yeah, right. And you might get, that's one reason why getting a little older dog, not one that doesn't want to play anymore, but just one that's already gone through some of the adolescence. How old is Max?
He's seven.
Oh, he's okay. So he's already a middle-aged dog.
He unfortunately just came out of the puppy stage about a year ago.
Yeah, I've got a seven-year-old that acts like a puppy, too. It's like, okay. People always ask me how old he is, and I'm like, well, he's seven, but he acts like he's one, you know. But just, I would go to, if you've got the Humane Society here or a shelter or go through a rescue if you decide on a breed, and just meet some of the dogs and see a female that, you know, you like, and then take Max with you and have him meet her and play and see what they think of each other.
Good. Okay. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thanks for the call. Next, we take a call from a listener in Urbana. Line two, hi.
Hi. We have a new puppy. He's about 3.5 months old now. He's a dachshund lab. And he's, yeah, I know.
Raises a lot of questions.
Yes, it does.
Who had the ladder?
But he's a very, very good puppy. We're going to puppy school, and he just learns very quickly. He's very well behaved. Except we have a 6-year-old daughter, and she just adores him, but she gets excited, then he gets excited, then in his excitement he starts chasing and nipping, and she seems to be convinced that he's biting her, which he's not. But so what do we, it's more a question of what do we do with her, to other than just talking to her about you have to be calmer around him, and how do we help her?
That is a tough problem. I remember years and years ago when my nieces and nephews were about your daughter's age, and we had some dogs, and we had them on a leash. I think it was two dogs. But in any event, they were, oh, let them go, let them loose. And I said, fine, two rules. One, you cannot run, and two, you cannot scream, because they will chase you, and they're bigger than you are, and they might knock you over. We promise. We let the dogs loose. The kids screamed and started running. And the problem is trying to explain this to a child. I just don't think it's going to work until the kid's, you know, 25 or 26. you probably have to go at it from the dog point of view.
Well, I would teach her to work with the puppy, okay? Instead of her interaction being running and things like that, teach her to play fetch with the puppy. so that she can throw toys and the puppy can go get them. And
she also, does some frisbee with Dad and the puppy, and that and that's been going beautifully.
Yeah, and
you know, it's more like when she's, you know, we're he's in a crate when we're not home, and we're trying to let him out more and more and more, and he's doing beautifully with that. But then she, you know, she gets worried he's going to do something, and it just starts this spiral.
The other thing you can work with, we have an exercise we do in our puppy classes called sit down stand, and you just use a bunch of cookies, and you need to supervise this, of course, but give her some treats, and it can be just his regular dog kibble. It doesn't have to be anything real special, and just show her how to make the puppy sit down and stand in just those three positions with the treats. And by having control of the puppy in that way, it gives her power over the puppy. And I think that sometimes will help her feel like she's in control and not the dog that's in control.
Okay.
And also there's an exercise that a lot of people advocate, and it's called go to your mat, go to your space. So the puppy is taught to go to its either a rug or a crate or some other place that's that dog's place, and when it goes, you show it where to go, and then when it gets there, you give it a treat, and after a while you can send it to its place excuse me, from any place in the room, and it learns that's its place. So that's another form of power that you can show her how to train the puppy to do. But sometimes with little kids, they feel they want to interact with the dog, but then they become fearful when the dog interacts back.
Right.
But by having this little bit of power over them, it gives them that sense of ownership, and they feel like they are in control.
Okay.
So you can try some of that. But supervision is definitely the most important thing at this phase. In other words, you need to be there whenever the dog is out with the child.
Sure.
And that way, if things start to spiral, you can give the puppy a timeout, or you can give the child not necessarily a timeout, but distract her into doing something else other than playing with the dog at that particular time.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You're very welcome. Thanks for the call this morning. This is Focus. We're talking about dogs with Robin Haggard and Jim Keel. My name is Celeste Quinn. Listeners, we've got a few more minutes left in this portion of the program. If you'd like to join us with a call or by email, please do so. 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. The toll-free number, 800-222-9455. And the email address is will-talk@illinois.edu. And we've got an email query here. Christmas is coming. Do you have any advice about Christmas, dogs, puppies, and children?
Mm.
Kind of a follow-up to...
Yeah.
Don't.
Well, there's definitely the recommendation, especially if you have small children, not to get a dog at Christmas, a puppy in particular.
Is that the question, or they just wondered...
Well, it's a shorthand question. So.
If they already have a dog and they're, say, grandparents, and the dog isn't used to having the kids there, and they're coming for Christmas, there again, supervision,
restraint.
We crate train all of our dogs from puppyhood, and they are comfortable in their crates. Most house dogs are not necessarily crate trained, so. When you lock them away in another room of the house, or you make them be outside more, they feel isolated, and they can tend to be, I don't want to say misbehave, but they may do a few more destructive things.
They want to get your attention.
Yeah, they miss the attention. So I would recommend that you either use baby gates or get a crate so that the dog can be confined but still be part of the family when these events happen. Also, during the holidays, people tend to have a lot of extra treats around, especially chocolate. And dogs do not react well to chocolate. For small dogs, it can become toxic and kill them. For big dogs, it can just make them sick. But in any case, you don't want the dog to get into things like that. So you have to really watch what treats you put out, what tables you put them on, make sure the dog is either confined or that the treats are out of reach.
Also, if you have a tree, keep the dog away from the tree. When I was a kid, we had a boxer. I grew up with a boxer, a couple boxers. And one of the boxers used to eat the decorations off the tree. Not that they were edible, but she was a crazy
and
dog.
Some are really bad.
Well, she used
pencil
to...
Pencil is horrible.
My mother used to put the spun glass stuff on it, and she would eat that stuff. And I don't know why she lived afterwards, but in the process of doing this, of course, the tree would fall over. And years later, when Robin and I had a tree, the dogs the males would pee on it and have all kinds of problems. And it's very hard to supervise something that comes once a year. It's hard to train a dog. This is a tree, and if it was outside, you could pee on it, but not in the house. Mm-hmm. It's not worth the trouble of trying to train it, so just keep the dog away from it.
Let's take one more call. This is a listener in Huntingburg, Indiana. Good morning.
Morning. My daughter has a dog, and it doesn't get along well with small children, which hasn't been much of a problem. Now she's pregnant. And it gets pretty wild and, you know, aggressive. And to be honest about it, I don't know what they call it in people, but I don't believe this dog feels any pain whatsoever.
What kind of dog is it?
It's half collie and half wolf.
Half wolf?
Yes.
Oh.
It's a very smart dog.
Yeah.
It just doesn't learn on cats. Small dog, anything smaller than it.
It's very prey-oriented, in other words. It wants to chase or kill small things. Yeah.
Yeah,
we've got 1 minute.
Okay.
This is a bad situation. In Illinois, it's illegal to own an animal like that, if, in fact, it's half-wolf. Probably it isn't, but you want to keep it away from the kid.
Well, yes, keep it confined. Always watch the child with it. You hate to recommend that she place the dog with somebody else, but if in the best interest of the child, when babies are laying there waving their arms around and screaming, it's like a prey to the animal, dog, yeah. And so it's just a target for that animal, even though it might be a very sweet dog. When they make those noises and they wave their arms around, that dog says, oh, that's something that I need to hunt or kill. So you definitely need to watch that.
Okay. Well, there we have to leave it. We're out of time. I want to thank our guests this morning, Robin Haggard and Jim Keel. And we'll talk about dogs in January on the first Friday of the month in the 11 o'clock hour. And Robin, I hope you feel better. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas to you, too.
Back at you.
Okay.